listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's the you? Keep it real, take the red pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. It's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Yes, yes, yes. You guys are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Now, I have here with me my co-host, Bill the Butcher.
Good evening.
And I have Will Torbett from The Man in the Truth.
What's that?
Of course, I'm your host, V. So tonight we have a bit of interesting guest. I believe we still have him. I gotta add him in here, but I want to let everybody know. Yes, I am actually scheduled to do a lot of stuff here very soon. I'm going on show after show because, you know, when you do things long enough, there's the point to where, you know, things just keep happening, and then those seem to get a little worse, and it can get a little worse after that. So you got to push a little harder and a little harder. I know my co-host can attest to that. As much as we fight against the evils in the world, it seems like the next day you wake up, you hear of an atrocity that is far outweighing anything else that you've experienced in life. So, just to fight back, because, you know, things have equal and opposite reaction. You know, the actions that are taken against us, we've got to take them back. So, I am starting my radio tour. Officially, it starts in November, but people are asking me to come on here and there. I've already done a few shows. We're going to have a simulcast with Pirate Radio on the 20th. So be ready for that, guys. And we're gonna freshen things up. And I know definitely get some more bumper music. We're gonna spice things up a bit and do a little rotation when we can. I know there are so many people. Again, I've been promised to train in media. I'm thinking, you know, we're all getting ready to do what we need to do. I want to put together a tour of people to fall behind me. I don't want it to just be me. I want it to be other people in the community as well. So we're going to put that list together. I'll have a team, and then we'll put dates all across everywhere. So the guest is getting really antsy here, so let me try to see if we can get him in. And we'll Hello. Go from there. John, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, there you are. We have John Captain the Third here with us.
Yes, hello.
Now, you came to our attention because you were talking about my interview with the Hollywood actress, Ashley Ann Wood, from Lost, CSI of Miami, et cetera, et cetera. She's been on Buffy. Well, she's a star on Buffy. And she's going through the whole targeted individual thing as well, except for her version of it is, of course, the Monarch Mind Control programming that comes from the Hollywood sector. So that story resonated with you. Can you let us know why that is and what information you have for us?
Yeah, well, I think that the connection between me and the whole mind control program is I dated a girl that was a victim of mind control. And just for some clarification, it's not like Monarch programming is for the Hollywood elite. It's for way above that. We're talking like, you know, way above the Clintons even. And they use Hollywood as one of their avenues. They use banking. They use, you know, all natural resources. Anything with money, they're in it. And so, but in my girlfriend's case, go ahead.
I was just saying, no doubt.
Oh, okay, sorry. In my girlfriend's case, I had absolutely no clue. And she was trying to explain it, but I'm sure all of you have had friends where it doesn't matter how much you talk, they're not going to believe you and they're not going to listen. That's how I was. And so I don't believe in conspiracy theories. That was not my deal at all. And even the word is offensive nowadays. But so I wasn't the person to go to for somebody who had these make-believe beliefs. However, now I know for sure she was telling the truth, and there are several reasons how I came to that conclusion. But like I said, I had never even heard of the MKUltra or mind control program when I first started hearing of this kind of delusional thoughts from Tiffany. But they're not delusional, and I think that her case is one where you can go, you know, this murder's weird, this whole thing's weird, so I'll check into it. And then when people do, they learn, why was a 35-year-old girl in charge of 31 dams in the nuclear power plant? Okay, and it all starts to come together. And, you know, for some it's scary or chilling or freaky, but or weird. But for me, it's definitely a wake-up call that something's really wrong with our system.
Okay, well, let's start with who your girlfriend is or was.
Yeah, okay, so Tiffany Jenks was a 35-year-old girl from Portland, Oregon, whom I'd met in 2012. And we had a relationship for about a year. And then at such time, it ended, I felt, because of drinking, but she has probably other reasons. And we broke up. And along the way, you know, we had a great relationship. We had good love. And then we had problems with drinking with her. But looking back now is a lot more different than it is now, because I can see clearly what was happening to her. But at the time that I was living in the relationship with her, I did not know why she was exhibiting these weird issues. Like, after a phone call, she would like scream and yell like there was no tomorrow. But so we dated, and you know, she always said, "You have no idea who I am," and that, you know, her father actually ran Los Alamos Nuclear Laboratory as a lead scientist. So, you know, and my dad was a tree trimmer, and my mom sold real estate. So the complete opposite of her situation. So I was like, you know, Tiffany, your dad died. There's no reason to like keep going over that. You know, she had a really hard time with his death, which my mom died too. I know how it feels. It's the worst thing in the world. But this was weirdly different.
Let me interrupt here. You kind of brushed over that like it was nothing. Her father was a chief scientist at Los Alamos.
Yeah, amongst other things in the world and the country, but primarily he was in charge of the place that invented the nuclear weapons, right?
Right.
And what she claimed. Now, I had the saying back then, and you know, a lot of this will be like seem pointless to people that don't really believe in mind control yet, but to those that do or those that are victims, it will ring a bell. Like, but I always said to Tiffany, I can give you the world, but I can't give it to. And she would just smile and shake her head. And I thought, and she really believed that there were two worlds, at least for the poor and the rich. And being that her dad was in charge of Los Alamos, I would have to believe that she would know, because she lived there for 5 years in her childhood, actually on the, not, I don't know about on the base or where, how it lays out, but that's where they lived for quite some time. But her dad did have some pretty high position nuclear jobs, you know, GE, Westinghouse, I believe it was, including, you know, working for the U.S. government. And you see that again and again, where people involved in the U.S. government are, they don't have really good values, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. Well, that is a common trait, especially the higher up you get with these types.
Yeah.
So what happened to her?
Well, amongst other things, yeah, and I want people to know that this is not my story. I'm telling them the information so that they can derive at their own, at what Tiffany said, because, you know, oftentimes if I say Tiffany told me it was going to be a fake mess or a fake bullet, they'd say, well, what are you saying? She's not dead. I said, no, I'm telling you what she was telling me before she died so that you know that these are the things she said. And in doing so, oh, you're crazy, which doesn't really offend me. I don't care. But I just want people to know, if I tell you all the stuff that she said, and then you can let the cards fall where they may, because it was all over my head at the time. But Tiffany knew that people wanted to kill her, and she confided in me that, and she cried and said, I'm not going to die tonight three times, as if she was talking to herself, looking down at the ground. And I thought she meant from drinking alcohol. So I was a little bit off the mark on that, like, clearly. But later that night, she did end up leaving, and as the story goes, she was murdered. Now, I believe in this theory of, if you're a liar once, you're a liar always. And I don't lie because I don't need to. And any time that I've ever made incorrect statements or beliefs, then I just say, this is where I got that information. And there's been two or three out of the hundreds that I've had. But the bottom line was, is that Tiffany's mother said, John, it is after the murder, Tiffany went to the hotel after she left your house, and she told the manager she was scared for her life from you. And I thought, well, that's weird. She was just at my house kissing me, hugs and kissing, saying she loved me. And so that night she died. She left here. She said she had to go or whatever. And I said, whatever. And I called her a taxi and she left. Unbeknownst to me, all the things that would transpire later, I wasn't aware of for a long time, or for several days. But at that time, I went to sleep and woke up in the morning, went to breakfast, and told my friend, you know, Tiffany was acting really weird last night. Listen to what she said. And I played for him because I recorded it on my phone, because I thought, you know, I'm going to play this for her when she's sober, to see how she, you know, what she says when she's drinking. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's weird. She said people are going to kill her or something like that. And so it wasn't until months later he reminded me I even played that for him. So the day went on. This was October 8th of 2013. She was shot at 2:30 in the morning. Now, after I left his house, left breakfast, rather, I went home, and at about 11 that night, I got a telephone call from a waitress at the breakfast place where I eat. She said, John, have you seen Tiffany? And I'm like, no, why? And then she was like really hyper, you know, freaking out. And she was at the bar where Tiffany was, and the bartender and her were talking, and I guess there was news about a girl dead, and he believed it was her or something to that effect. So I was on the phone, and as she was telling me, she became very serious in her tone, and she said, John, Tiffany's dead, because I guess it was posted on her Facebook page by her family. And so basically, if you look at this timeline of events that the police claim happened in this murder, it's not possible. And because it's not possible, it says, okay, so they're lying. Yeah, that's right. The police are absolutely flat out lying. And there's probably 20 or 30 ways you can know, but we'll go through some of them. And the importance of that is because if we don't get told the truth, we have no clue what's going on. And any of the non-conspiratory people, this is what we're talking about when you're into conspiracy. They're just saying like, okay, here's proof they lied about a murder. I mean, I might not know about other murders like JFK or Martin Luther King, but I know Tiffany. They lied about her murder. And that's all I really should have to say, but I can go through the details of it as we go. So Tiffany had left my house. She went to the hotel, checked in, and her mom said she was scared about everything, and the hotel staff walked her to the door and told her to lock it. But she wasn't really, because she walked right back out, and she walked across the street, happy-go-lucky, to the bar across the street, where she spent $160 in 38 minutes. Now, the police want you to believe that she went bar hopping and she was out for hours with these people. She didn't go with anybody. She went to the bar. She went outside to meet her killers. They drove away and she was dead. But we're going to go over that more specifically here because it's really important. So Tiffany goes to the bar. She tells the bartender, I'm going to die. My life's over. My life is over. Now, do you think the police would use that as evidence in a murder, right? She was dead coming in about another 35, 40 minutes. So the bartender says to the police, she told me she was going to die. So now there's no more question that she knew. But her family and the other people lying in her case, they try to dismiss that as well. John, bartenders hear that all the time. You're like, what? And so Tiffany
walks out. Can I briefly
yes,
interject? Please. I'm sorry. Yeah. What police department, what location is this in? And continue.
It's October 8th of 2013 when she's murdered, and she was murdered in Oregon. And it's the police like to call it 18 miles of near Portland, Oregon, which is Fairview, Oregon. But it's 1 mile between the line. So if you were to throw a rock, you could hit Portland, Oregon. And I believe that police department has since been integrated into the Gresham Police in Oregon. But and so the bartender says, yeah, Tiffany said she's going to die. Now, all these clues that I'm giving you is still a setup for John. I'm supposed to be the one caught for this murder later. And so that's why her mom told me that she was scared, and the police really knew that the bartender said that, but I didn't even learn that till years later, but it's in the police reports. They just never said it out loud to anybody, including the public, because they were still setting me up at that time. And so the girl calls me, like I said, and tells me Tiffany's dead. And by that time I'm on my computer typing in the facts of this case. And I'm like, calling this emergency number, like 911, and saying, hey, this is a boyfriend of Tiffany. I don't know what's going on. And I was like crying and freaking out. And, she goes, sir, slow down. Okay. My girlfriend was murdered at Blue Lake Park. And I see this article in the news that says call. And I have a girl on the other line, and I'm going to click her on, but she's at a bar, and I wanted to tell you first. She says, okay. So technically so far, if everybody's in agreement, I'm the one that called the police, right? Police didn't say that. Police don't want the one set up for murder to be the one to call the police. I wasn't supposed to call the police. And in fact, when I did call, I said Tiffany was at the bar last night. So now they're stuck, right? So these other police, not the cult ones, but the ones that weren't supposed to go, 10 strong, 10 cop cars go to the bar, and they start to find out clues to the murder. Now, at this point, it's when I called them was 11 at night, October 8th. Then one cop comes to visit me at my home to talk to me about the case, which is just after midnight on the October 9th now, in the early morning hours. So, and backing up just a little bit, and I know it kind of seems like I'm bouncing around on this, but...
Well, we got 2 more minutes before break, so...
How many?
Try to get to 2 minutes before break, so okay. Try to get to a breaking point.
Okay, so bottom line is this. At that point, the police had information of who the killers were on October 9th. And the way they knew is because the closed circuit television cameras at the bar, plus the bar scans people's ID in Oregon, which is another government corrupt program, and the government gets copies of it. So they knew who the killers were based on that early October 9th. Now, when they're still trying to set somebody else up in a murder, they don't want the public to know they know who the killers are, because that doesn't set well with setting me up. So, and we can, you know, talk about how that all transpired here in a second when you come back on.
Well, this is a very interesting, riveting story here. With the fact that this lady was connected to Los Alamos. I have friends right now who are just grandchildren of ex-CIA who have whispered and told little stories here and there, nothing too tremendous, who are now targeted and are underneath the secret program to be killed off because they want to tie off every loose end that they can.
Sure.
Right now. So what you're telling me is entirely real to me because I see this all the time.
Sure.
Okay. I'm ex-military. I didn't get to any high echelon of any secrets, but I know how military works. And if you're not in the family, well, the only way they want you to leave is in a body bag. Really. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. But anyways, we're going to go to commercial and we'll be right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
We are back from commercial break. So I gotta ask my co-host here, what you guys think of what you're hearing so far?
Well, I don't know enough about the case to be honest with you. I'm listening to what the gentleman is saying so I can put it together. My first initial question is why would she be killed? What was the reason? What was the gain for killing her? What did she know? And then, frankly, I have to listen to more of what he has to say before I can pass a judgment.
That seems fair to me.
I would just like to briefly say before you continue, that's definitely a question that I have, obviously, as well. But the gentleman seems very credible and well-spoken. Doesn't seem like somebody that would come off as a liar or have something to necessarily hide. But, yeah, let's always keep an open but skeptical mind. But, yeah, I'm very interested to see where this goes.
Okay, so we'll continue. The fact that the three killers of Tiffany Jenks had taken her from the bar, supposedly, according to police, and did not know her, it was not just that she didn't know them, but the police were telling everybody she didn't know them. And so it's a red flag to me when somebody's telling you what to think. And in this case, on several occasions, the police did just that. They said the way they could tell that Tiffany did not know her killers is because they shook hands as if meeting for the first time. Now, that became a mistake for them because I, you know, put that all out there to the public, and I kept saying, do you meet somebody for the first time, shake their hands, or can you know somebody and still shake their hands? And even a sixth grade school student would say, I shake people's hands that I know every day. And so the police were telling the public what to think. Another one was, there's no direct threat to the public, but they hadn't made an arrest. So that's kind of weird. So bottom line was, Tiffany left the bar with three people, and 38 minutes later, she was dead. How that transpired, I guess, is anybody's guess, because they were nobody was there except the four of them. But what happened that made me want to do your show is that they just recently did a new TV series on Tiffany's case, and it's called Tiffany Jenks on ID Discovery, Northwest Murders. And in that show that came out a week ago, it's a complete lie. And in fact, people are online going, what is the story? And I can't help but wonder why her family would have even went online to speak more, because every time they speak about this case, they look dumber and dumber. But in this case, they did the TV show, and I was outraged by what the police had said. As an American, they don't need a warrant. I should now, but as an American, they don't need a warrant to question me about a murder, and they weren't. So when police came to talk to me later after Tiffany had been shot that night, it was only in response to me calling them on the phone, like I just said a minute ago, where I called the police. But in this show, they make it look like they found me and that I wouldn't cooperate and wouldn't give them video that I had of Tiffany coming to my house that night.
So you were mentioned in this documentary.
Oh, the whole thing's about me. Yeah, the whole thing's about me. They just used a fake name. They, on the TV show, they used Bill O'Ryan or something like that, in the words, in the name of the character. But in this character, I will promise you, they're setting me up again to start all over again soon. And so this video movie they produced last week is just the beginning of yet another round of making a murderer of John Captain. And that just goes to show.
Hold on here. They should be able to. They're going to use the name of a real victim. They need to use the names of the real suspects. Yeah,
the lawyers probably told them not to.
Well, okay, but that doesn't matter, because if you use a fictitious suspect list, then you're not only putting someone else at risk who might be of the same name, possibly in the area,
sure.
But yes, you're taking credit away from your story, and if they're, I mean, they're already, from what you're telling me, they're already making it fictitious. Well,
you can't have credibility in a story where they never asked anything of the person they're setting up to be the possible other killer. If I had anything to do with the murder and I warranted 25% of the show, wouldn't they have asked me what my thoughts were? My thoughts are that the police lied 100%, and I would absolutely love to talk to them live. What I don't want to do is talk to them in writing, because they do really good at rewriting history in advance. No matter what I ask, they have an excuse for. But if they were to talk live, these two police officers, detectives, without a question, there's no way the public would believe a word they said. And that's key. I'm only trying to stop the public from having these risks of gun killings, you know? Why would we have gun laws when we have all these shootings and nobody cares? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a couple of technical questions, and I do apologize.
Well, you're going to have to hold them for after the commercial break.
Okay. No problem.
Please remember those questions. But, yes, police, if they're going to set you up, they're going to set you up no matter what you say. And that's why I tell everyone, record everything.
I did.
Record your encounters with the police.
I have lots.
Oh, I'm so glad for that. That's good. Okay, so we're going to go to commercial, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, sir.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Xtendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Xtendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Xtendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Still tuned into the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, and we have John Captain III here with us. Now, you have a website dedicated to this, and some other things on this website as well. Have you been investigating other people's cases that might have something to do with her case, or just like her case, or what?
Well, actually, I was after her murder, and I later had found out from someone that she was a mind control victim, which we found out because Tiffany recorded her doctor in Portland, Oregon, and the doctor puts her under mind control, and then the government took my recordings. I got a restraining order against me. So for almost 2 years, I couldn't even do what I wanted to do about this case, which is absolutely pathetic. But then you can read about it, Oregon Court of Appeals under my name. And it was reversed. But the corruption involved when you deal with these people, it's like, you know, like my sister believes she's a constitutionalist. And I said to her, that's a great story. Try telling that to the court because they don't believe in it and you don't get to use it. And for people that haven't been up against this big, huge government, you know, cabal, whatever, they don't realize that there are no rules at the top. Trust me, there are those only rules for everybody else. And so, in terms of the website, though, I just put a bunch of different stuff on there, which I have one called programtodie.com, which is just a collection of some people's accounts of mind control stuff. And then for people that want to research a little bit about this case, they can actually go to WordPress and then just Google WordPress Tiffany Jenks documents. And that's primarily just a bunch of documents of the case and the videos of the media. But the media lies, they give you no way to recant any of those lies. And so you'll be like, hey, is this Channel 12 News in Portland? Yeah, this is us. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that you're completely wrong about the murder. Are you still there? I mean, they're controlled 100%. There's no chance you're going to be able to tell the truth about a murder to the media because they're corrupt. There's just no way to do so. And so in terms of this case, you know, I had all this evidence at first before I even learned of mind control. I didn't even know what it was. And then I met a gentleman at a restaurant that knew all about it. And I handed him my phone and I said, listen to this doctor talk about vampires, death, and wars between good and evil. And he's listening to it. And he's the one, his name's Clyde Lewis here in Portland. He's the one that told me Tiffany was a victim of mind control.
And oh, then, Clyde, of course, Lewis. I know Clyde Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, he's in fact, on my network with the TLB TV here.
Okay.
Host of Ground Zero.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know Clyde.
And I don't know if you've heard the show. I was just looking for it for a second. But I met him at a restaurant, and he couldn't believe the audio that I had. And so he did a show that night back in August 6th of 2014. So that was day one I learned of mind control. And Tiffany had died October 8th of 2013. And so the next day I went to Powell's Bookstore, a famous bookstore here in Portland, and I was trying to find books on the Illuminati because Clyde told me Tiffany was involved in the Illuminati. According to him, somebody called his show, or a few people did, and told him that Tiffany's family is Illuminati, which her family's R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. Her family, her father's best friend was R.J. Reynolds. And then her dad, you know, of course, was Los Alamos. And so I'm at the bookstore and Fritz Springmeier calls me on the phone. And he, of course, people know him about doing a lot of stories on mind control. And I asked him, hey, can I talk to you about this case? And he said, yes. So I went to his house and took all my evidence with me. And about 15 minutes after that, he says, she's a monarch slave for the New World Order. And I'm like, what? What is that? I had no idea. I thought that was a cartoon or something. And so I became educated from him and several other people, including David Icke. I talked to Kathy O'Brien via email, and a lot of people to learn that this is what's happening, sadly, to our own country. That people are being used for that purpose.
Why did these people say that this was indicative of a mind control slave? And I've had Fritz on the show a couple times. What were the points that were giving it away to them?
Well, first of all, just to be honest with you, Fritz is actually a thief. He stole $34,000 from our business while I was in New York City. But why
really?
He spent? Yeah, it's really sad that he thinks he's a Christian because he's not. And his girlfriend Dolores knows all about it. But I was really grieving, and that's actually the main point Kathy O'Brien said to me via email several times. Do not let people in your life right now. You're vulnerable and they will get you. And he was. He used and abused it and stole the money. And it's really sad. So I saw him in Warsaw, Poland. I think he got some ward and something like that. And David Icke comes to me and he goes, John, Fritz is here. I'm like, oh my God. Because I mean, I don't have anything against him other than he's a lying thief. Other than that, his information is spot on, you know, so I really respect that. But regardless, so he was here for, Fritz was here for a good 2 months, and his, logic for describing Tiffany as a monarch slave was her writings, how she talked in terms of you know, calling some of that stuff out, how she exhibited those signs when she would be alter changed into different mind control people, like sexual, or now this is me explaining to him, and then he says, okay, that's what this is. The fact that her family was so strange about everything, including her murder, but primarily, she wasn't allowed to go home. She hadn't seen her mom in 11 months. She was isolated from the family. They were stealing her will. They threw her in jail for a month and didn't go see her. They tried to demonize or hammer on anybody that was anywhere near her. I believe they just wanted her to die. That's my opinion.
Sounds like the Church of Scientology to me.
Yeah, no kidding. Clearing the planet, yeah, for themselves. They sure are. But, yeah, in fact, I talked to Mike Rinder, but I never got to talk to him about Tiffany.
Well, I want to get to the Butcher's questions here. Let's not forget. He has some questions.
Okay, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, all right. Well, you've answered some of my questions. We now have a motive.
I wish the police told you what the motive was, because when they speak, it's funny.
Well, the motive is that she knew too much. She was a member of the Illuminati. I don't know about being a monarch slave. I've never heard that term.
We call them the Illumitards on this program, sir.
Okay, well, Illumitard. But the thing I'm interested in right now, you said that three men picked her up, and since she was a part of the elite, the bar hopping, the socializing, the stuff like that, it goes right along with that lifestyle, so that's not unusual. She got with three men that she either knew or didn't know. And, like, the next question is indelicate, but I need to know. Where was she shot, and do you know what caliber?
.38 caliber in the head, and she was taken by one girl who worked for a mortuary and two guys. Now, Michelle and Josh, the girl and the guy, are the ones that should be in prison, and the one that supposedly pulled the trigger who was set up also, Daniel Burnell, he's in prison for the murder, and he said, they told me either shoot her or they would shoot me, so I did.
Okay, well, that's a 38 in the head. That is a professional hit, is what that is, okay? A person...
So there's an innocent man in jail, too, right now. Sorry.
What'd you say, sir?
What'd you say?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's upsetting that there's also, you're telling me, basically an innocent man in jail as well.
I don't know that he's innocent because I never got to interview him completely, but I do know that he was the only one that told the truth. And I do believe that, in my opinion, without lack of further information, he's the only person. The police belong in jail. They didn't tell the truth. The victim's family didn't tell the truth. The killer was more honest than them.
Well, what I was pointing out was when they were trying to implicate you for the murder, you were involved romantically with this young lady. Yep. And usually when you end up with a slaying in a situation like that, it's quite messy, okay? And this was, I guess, one shot to the head, which is typical of, I call it a mafia killing, you know, that kind of stuff. And
sure.
So strangulation, beating, stuff like that with what we call a crime of passion. This was not a crime of passion. This was a crime of planning. One shot to the head and her mouth was forever closed.
Yeah, and also I want to point out that it was very odd watching the police try to convince the public of the fact that this was actually a thrill kill. So everybody on this radio network got that straight, because I don't want to have to repeat it. The police said it's a thrill kill, so therefore we should probably believe it. Because the only difference between a thrill kill and premeditated murder is about 30 years in prison. So, in addition to that, regardless of whether you believe the police narrative, which nobody can, but the police actually, and the courts and everybody, and the media, they all work together in concert. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful how they're not really good. And that's why I say it's so beautiful, because it's like you see it going and you watch the news and you're like, why was she killed? As the police said, well, we can't really release a motive at this time. Well, can you now? It's been 6 years. So in this new show they did, ID Discovery, they've really honed in on their words a little better. I mean, they called Tiffany a drunk loser who lost her way because her dad died, which I thought was kind of weird, putting Tiffany down the whole time after she's dead. Her mom said she failed and asked why the shooter didn't shoot her in the foot instead of the head. And then she explained how she washed Tiffany's head with blood in it. And I just thought, what in the heck? Oh, and then she said it was a snuff murder or something. Her mom, they're just weird people. They drove Tiffany's dead body. Yeah, I know. Let me say one more thing, then you can say what. They actually drove Tiffany's dead body from Portland, Oregon to Burns, Oregon, which is 5 hours away, in their car.
Wow, dude. This is insane. And, go ahead, B. Sorry. This is just absolutely absurd.
You're telling me. I was living it.
This is now, murder porn. Sensationalized murder porn. They always do that with these documentaries. Okay,
they're not supposed to get caught.
Well, the thing is, I like, for example, I proved that Eileen Wuornos was a target individual. She did those murders, yes. But the reason why was completely turned around and sensationalized.
Sure.
Now, when you have a young lady who is afraid for her life, people start questioning you beforehand, you know, the mother, you know, why is she afraid for her life? And outside of your sphere of influence, she dies. That's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much for anyone to turn around and flip if they only knew the back end of the story.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, Will, what were you saying?
No, I totally agree with you.
No, I just find...
Good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, this may be an obvious question, but I still want to ask it. Why do you think that the cops were so apt? Is it because of her family's affluence? And is also same question for the family. Like, I mean, what's going on there?
Well, I mean, I can only speculate, but I believe that that led me to this cult style belief. And if for the people that have never been around this and don't believe in cults, or I mean, of course, everybody believes in cults, but it doesn't believe in conspiracy stuff. How is it that the police lied about a murder? And if you do believe they lied about a murder, when I called the DA's office and I said, I have facts to a murder, and then later I learned on the court record, the DA said, we got a phone call from John Captain, who left a voicemail on the office phone that said he had evidence of the case, but it was non-cyclical and I forgot the word he used, but it's kind of rude. And I said, I called, and therefore the court does not want to put it on the record. Okay, because it said it would have been taken 10 minutes to do it, and we would have had to have everybody here in court, and that's a waste of the court's time. So all my 80 clues to her murder got left out of the court case. And I also found it odd that there were only 5 witnesses to her murder. The 3 killers, Tiffany, who was dead, and me, and I was excluded from the courtroom.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's quite odd, right? And so they never really held court. They never talked about what had happened. And everybody basically flipped and said, okay, well, we'll just plead out, which I guess in Oregon means lie. And the sentencing came along, they had changed their pleas. But if you look at the Josh and Michelle thing, Josh and Michelle being the 2 co-killers that got away with this, they got 13 months for other crimes, not really for their part of the murder, but supposedly they didn't tell the police when they saw him the next day at the courthouse when they went to get married with the $150 that they sold their gun for. See, because I know it's really pathetic, but the police want you to believe that Josh and Michelle got married. That way they don't have to testify against each other.
They sold their gun.
Well, yeah, well, why else would a guy come from California, shoot Tiffany in the head, and go home all in a 24-hour period? And, in fact, the DA helped him. The DA said it was the next day. Well, I'd like to tell the DA, who's now the judge, by the way, he's now the judge, great, that if you shoot somebody at 2:30 in the morning and you take the first bus out of town at 11 in the morning, even if you sleep between 2:30 in the morning when she was shot in the head and her bus time at 11, it's the same day, and therefore it's a run of the crime. He took the gun to California, back on the bus 11 hours, where he had just come from that day before, and he basically left and said, yeah, I paid for the gun the next day. So because the police said that Josh and Michelle admitted to selling a gun, I want to say, no, they didn't, that they handed him the gun, and that you can't sell a gun on a promissory note in Oregon and use it for murder and still call it a sale. Because, of course, they said they sold it. Wouldn't you?
So yeah, absolutely.
Now I have questions. Now,
yeah,
I have
you
questions.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So crazy.
Okay.
It's offensive to Americans.
Well, it's stupid is what it is. I mean,
yeah, it is.
They sold the gun. They tried to do a paper trail to prove that they didn't have the gun at a certain time, from what I understand. They took a bus, a freaking bus.
Greyhound, yeah. It's a low-cost
A freaking bus.
Kill team.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just got one thing to say. I'm going to let V take over. Only in Portland, Oregon.
You're right. It gets worse from there.
I know some really twisted individuals that live in Oregon. One would be an ex of mine named Michelle and her brother named Josh. So it's really funny that you say this stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, totally.
Coincidences.
Yeah. Well, and in Portland, too, you know, they get to actually murder a girl, kidnap her, remove the serial numbers from the gun that day, go leave their 13-year-old daughter alone in the hotel till they get to the after party, which is her, sexually abuse their child, and only get charged with not telling police the next day when they're at the courthouse to get married that they might know who the killer is that they drove to the bus to get away. That's the only charge.
So also, I'm guessing you potentially maybe called some other state police or the FBI and you probably heard nothing. And then I guess I want to follow up and say, what are these people up to now? Because I'd love to go ask those people some questions.
Yeah, well, I've tried initially with the shooter that's in jail now, and he won't talk, period. In terms of Michelle and Josh, who are the real I wouldn't even call them the masterminds, but I'd call them next level. They're both out, and Michelle was out in 13 months. And more importantly, I want you to know this is really pathetic, but when they questioned them first about the murder, the police claimed they didn't have enough evidence to hold them. Now, the police knew that she was dead at 2:30 because two people in their homes heard the gun go off independent of the murder case. And then the video surveillance showed the car leaving at 2:11 a.m. So they knew there was only 19 minutes between the time they left the bar and the time she was dead. And they let these killers go for another 4 days so they could get married, get ready to roll. And then they let them come back to Oregon, cross state line by themselves. And then they got interviewed and they were arrested. Now, after they're arrested, Michelle gets out in 8 days. It's her gun. She removed the serial numbers from the gun. She let the kid get molested. That's some power. That is some power. When you could get out in 8 days on a murder, if you're a black man, you're never getting out. And this lady got out in 8 days.
Thank you.
It's really offensive, actually, because you have all these people claiming that there's justice. Explain to me how that's possible that anybody would go to jail for more than 8 days when she committed murder and got out on her own recognizance, no bail.
Well, it's as simple as this. She was killed literally minutes after her abduction, okay?
Yeah.
Which shows extreme planning. I'm still laughing about the bus thing. Man, I don't want to get racial about
it. It's Greyhound, this. Man.
I don't want to get racial about this, but that's really Puerto Rican there. And if I was to have shot your girlfriend, number one, I would have got a gun on the black market. No, paper trail? Promissory note? Oh, Jesus Christ. I would have got a gun on the black market. I would have shot her, and I would have dropped the gun in the surf in the Pacific Ocean. And that would have been the end of it. This whole thing is so whacked. It's just so whacked. I'm going to have to do some thinking on this, V. I really have to think about this one.
Yeah, you know, the important thing that people don't realize is that the reason it's all crazy and the cover-up is because I had some evidence. The police didn't want to accept it. I mean, I don't know if you can hear this clip, but I'm just going to play 1 second of it, so just in case. This is the Oregon State Police saying, John, don't call us. We don't want to hear about the murder anymore. You know, it's like, so... you see.
Like part of our discussion previously, we're just going to consider this case closed.
So that was the Oregon State Police. But I mean, like you said about audio, yeah, I have all that. They sent the police here to lock me up, to make me crazy, as they call it, and give me medications because I had evidence of a murder. But luckily that didn't work out for them.
Well, that is a huge thing that we talk about on this show. The mental institutions being used for jails.
You're right.
For whistleblowers and anybody else who doesn't want to go along with the program.
Big time. You are right about that. That's a real concern of mine, too, and it's really wrong.
Absolutely. And Oh, wow. What a story. We had been keeping you on the back burner because we don't want to hear this. And
yeah.
And it makes me think about the people that I talked to all the time, especially this actress, whom her ignorant father, who's a psychologist,
I see.
Knows nothing about mind control or mind control technology. That is the joke of it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
you know, the comedian from The Watchmen is like, why they call him the comedian? Because you're going to find out the punchline at the end.
Yeah.
That is the punchline. None of these psychologists, psychiatrists know anything about mind control.
Well, Tiffany's did, luckily for her. I mean, unluckily for her, because she in the meeting, she was put under mind control, and she recorded it. And if people want to hear it, yeah, they can go to the YouTube channel, listen to it on my YouTube, which is John S. Captain, by the way.
Well, I mean, for the people, I'm talking that's available to the public, not the handlers. Yes, the psychiatrists and the psychologists who are handlers.
Yeah, yes.
You wouldn't believe the things that they can make a person do.
Yeah.
But, you know, John, I want to thank you for coming on to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Because we're winding down to the last minute here. One more time, a place where people can reach you.
They can reach me on Facebook at John S. Captain, CAPTAIN, and on YouTube, John S. Captain also, and it's the Tiffany Jenks murder. That's pretty much what it is.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I just wondered if you had a website.
Programtodie.com, and then also a WordPress, which is Tiffany Jenks documents on Google that, but programtodie.com.
Okay. People, check this out.
Oh, another thing, Facebook. I'm sorry, Facebook also. John, Facebook is Tiffany Jenks Murder. If you would friend me there, that'd be helpful for me.
Absolutely. People, check this out. This can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everybody. Eventually. Thank you, yes. Anyways, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, V. And catch us next week, Monday, because we're gonna have a whole week of information-packed shows. It's going to be so awesome, meeting all types. And I'm glad we ended off this week with John. What a great show. Anyways, in the land of surveillance, male third eye is king, so educate yourselves.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill. Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.